This morning's scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse, a branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearance nor decide by heresy. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth, by the breath of his lips. He will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a signal to the people. The nations will seek him out, and his dwelling will be glorious. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, yet another far-fetched prophetic vision from good old Isaiah. Last week, it was weapons being beaten into plowshares. Now, it's not inanimate objects which are the focus of the vision, but rather living things. While it is difficult to change the shape of forged, hardened steel implements, it's even harder to shape or reshape things that are living. Living things have their own nature and their own instinct to remain who they were born to be. Their survival, the survival of their species, depends on it. Wolves know what lambs are for. Driven by their appetite, they are natural predators. And lambs, well, they too know what's on the menu. They are. They have always been and will continue to be prey to all who are bigger, faster, and more powerful than they are. That's just nature. That's what makes Isaiah's vision so far-fetched. It's more than just a repurposing of stuff. It's even more than a transformation. It's a creation of a whole new order. What Isaiah is talking about is bigger than the absence of aggression. The vision goes deeper, reaching into the very core and essence of all creation. There's a system in which fear has been dispelled. Not only the fear of predators, but the fear which drives the instinct to prey on others to assure survival of self. Now, Isaiah is talking here to people who are the lambs in the vision. He and his people were surrounded by wolves. This was a time when the superpower of the day, the Assyrian Empire, was bearing down on the nation. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been destroyed. Would they be next? Or would the nation and its monarchy somehow continue? Is God with them at this moment? Again, larger and more powerful nations had already fallen to the wolf. The reference to the stump of Jesse may reflect this reality. The stump suggests that damage had been done to Jesse's tree. I'm sure the people wanted to believe Isaiah, but I'm not convinced they could believe. They wanted to think that someday they wouldn't be prey on the menu for the wolves of the world. But did they dare trust in the far-fetched dream of this prophet? What about the wolf? Even if the lamb wanted to believe such a far-fetched vision, could you ever get the wolf to buy into it? Which would be easier, getting the lamb to live without fear that no one would eat him alive, or getting the wolf to trust that they no longer needed to consume the weak among them to survive or prosper? By now, you can probably tell that Isaiah's vision is bigger than his setting, reaching far beyond the corner of his world, relevant in times beyond his day, and it addresses sheep and wolves yet to come. Isaiah envisions the earth will surely be filled with such a system, just as the waters cover the seas. Yet he acknowledges that it may be slow in developing, beginning perhaps as just a shoot growing out from a stump of all that has been lost, a branch that is rooted in the promise of a whole new order, an order that turns the whole concept of power upside down, a system with a new and more powerful nature, a whole new instinct that is rooted in love rather than fear. It is interesting that today's epistle reading from the lectionary, Romans 15, the Apostle Paul refers to Isaiah's prophecy of a root of Jesse. But even more interesting is the context of that passage in which Paul uses the term. He is instructing Hebrew Christians in establishing a community patterned after the model of Christ, one which would begin to reflect a new order that Isaiah had said would be rooted in the stump of Jesse. What Paul calls for is a new instinct in which power is used for the well-being of the vulnerable. Though it is not included in the lectionary reading, listen to the opening verses of Paul's instruction. He writes, "We who are powerful need to be patient with the weaknesses of those who don't have power, and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good in order to build them up. Christ didn't please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude toward one another, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude, that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together with one voice." Such is the beginning of a community, a world which is rooted in love, a place where the vulnerable can instinctively trust that they will not become prey, and where there is no need for the predator to instinctively consume the weak for their own survival. A community where those with power do not use it instinctively for their own good, but for the good of the community. Not quite as far-fetched as a lamb living with a wolf, but it's still quite a stretch from reality. A stretch, but not beyond our reach. Where do we begin? How do we build such a community where love dispels fear and trust becomes the first instinct? A whole new order where there is neither predator nor prey. How do we get there from here? Maybe you like a candle's flame, love will lead us there. As we light the Advent candle of love, we remember that love is a central message of the coming of the babe in the manger. Mary was told by the angel that she was favored, loved by God. Song of the angels to the shepherds, that starry night in Bethlehem was peace on earth among those whom God favors or loves. And who doesn't remember that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son? In order to be loving, you see, we must first know we are loved. Let the candle's flame offer you the assurance that you are loved by God. Like a candle's flame, the assurance that we are loved will kindle our love for others that lies hidden in our hearts. Experience has taught us to put up our guard, to distance ourselves for protection, Never let others put you in a vulnerable spot, much less risk helping someone who might end up taking advantage of you. Conditioning has led us to be fearful and untrusting. It might be surprising that love for others is even more instinctual than fear or mistrust. It just lies hidden in our hearts. Like a candle's flame, let love set others in a whole new light. Like a candle's flame, love will lead us to use whatever power we might have, small or great, not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbors for their good in order to build them up. This year, our congregation is using the movie The Christmas Candle for our Advent reflection. The pastor in that movie, Reverend David Richmond, had a problem believing in miracles. What he did believe in was helping others, building them up any and every way he could. While he challenged his congregation's hope for a miracle, he also challenged them to be the miracle someone else might need, to be the answer to the prayer for help rather than waiting for God to do something that they could do for one another. Pastor Richmond, echoing the call of Christ, insisted that, like a candle's flame, their good works should be set on a candlestick and give light to all in the house. Rather than angels and miracles, rather than signs and wonders, it was their good works that would draw others to God and glorify their Father in heaven. Could it be that kindnesses are somehow as revealing, maybe even more revealing, than miracles? Could it be that kindnesses are a more compelling case for God's presence in the world than signs and wonders? When it comes to far-fetched prophecies of new order, could it be that love will lead us there? The Advent movie depicts how, like a candle's flame, love spread among the community, engulfing everyone in its path. A great and spontaneous combustion was set loose across the village. Neighbors began helping neighbor. Needs were met. Surprising miracles were received. Even those whose prayers seemed to have not been answered were inspired to hope when they saw their neighbor's needs met. Some who wanted to leave the village decided to stay, saying providence and love had led them there. It may seem a far-fetched prophecy for wolves and sheep everywhere to imagine the possibility of getting along and establishing an order that turns the whole concept of power upside down. A system with a new and more powerful nature. A community with a whole new instinct that is more powerful than fear. We have to wonder if we can ever get there from here. It's certainly a stretch, but it can be within reach, and love will guide us there. Amen.